When Lee called me, I can remember it was Thursday morning or Wednesday morning, asked me would I do this, and I just said, sure. He said, say something about service. I said, okay. He had given me some ideas on what he had started for his message today. And so I was kind of thinking about it all day, and I went home and prayed about it that night, and the next morning at 5:45, I jumped up and wrote this in 5 minutes. It might sound like it by the time I'm finished. But when I was sitting there this morning, a lot of what has already been said and the scripture read and all of that, it's what I was going to talk about. You know, how amazing is that? You know, if we just let God use us, things get accomplished. And I was sitting there with tears in my eyes, just, you know, I was going to say that. You know, I was going to use that scripture, and it's already been done. You know, so God does wonderful things if we just let him. But anyway, who remembers a service station? Well, that just told their age, because you wouldn't know what a service station was unless you were my age or either watched Andy Griffith. You know, the service station had this, the ones we had at home, had a little black thing run across the front. They had the gas pumps. You went across it, the bell rung, and the attendant, you know, would come out and start pumping your gas and clean your windshield, and as Goob always said, check under the hood. So, you know, that's what a service station. I asked Brett yesterday, and I was talking, I said, you know what a service station is? He said, I think so. What happened? What happened to service stations? You know, I'm one of the first places that came to my hometown with a self-service tank. Hot dog, they're going to let you pump your own gas, you're going to pay them more, and you're not going to get in the service for it. You know, something is wrong. One of the places you can always go and get good service was banks. You know, you go to the bank, up to the teller, everybody knew everybody. But now we got direct deposit. You know, a lot of checks get direct deposit. The banks encourage us to bank online. You know, we can do anything we need to do at a bank, you know, from our home now. So therefore, they're offering less service. Grocery stores, another example. You know, I guess the only one that has people carry groceries out, excuse me, to the car is U-Crops. You know, they provide that service. I think we're confused on what, excuse me, I think we're confused on what service means. You know, we live in a self-service society, but we still demand excellent service. You know, if you go to a restaurant and get bad service, well, you may not go back. You know, maybe just go to the buffet. You know, if the cable service, the internet service goes down, what do we want? We want it up now. We want service now. We want the guy here in the next hour. We don't want to wait from 8 to 12 to get, you know, for the service guy to come. So we still demand good service, but we're living in a self-service society. I guess it depends on a lot whether you're giving service or whether you're receiving service. You know, we like to give good service in my job, but we also like to receive service also. You know, being a deacon and service, you know, they kind of go hand in hand. A servant is what makes Christianity work. It's what makes Christianity go around. You know, serving each other, giving, receiving both ways. You know, Christ gives to us, you know, we're to give to others. The hard part of service is, we have to become a servant. You know, what is a servant? One who works for or is in subjection to another. Subjection. You know, I don't particularly like that word. But we have to accept we're not in control. You know, someone else is in control. You know, Jesus is the greatest example of that, of being a servant. In Philippians 2, 1 through 8, it says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, it is, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same attitude of mind Jesus Christ had. And this was his attitude. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a human being, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. So to be a servant, we got to humble ourselves. We got to say, we're not the most important. Everyone else is important. To have a servant attitude, we have to put others first. You know, don't do what I want to do today. Let's do something for somebody else. We still have trouble with that. The early churches had problems with it, just like we've read in Philippians. The Galatians, they had trouble with it. Paul told the Galatians to serve one another in love. You know, not to be selfish. Colossians, Paul told them, as part of his Christian household instructions in Colossians 3, 23 through 24, he said, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. You know, so many times we maybe get off track and think we are serving this church or serving the deacons or serving our family. It's the Lord Jesus that we are serving. You know, that's the bottom line. And we're asked a lot when we're talking to especially new deacons, asking them to come on board. I don't know what I can do. You know, I just don't know what I can do. They have a picture of what a deacon is, I guess. I'm probably a bad picture, but it's a picture. We're all given gifts, you know, to use in God's service. You know, somebody's called to be a deacon, it does not mean that person is perfect. You know, we don't put them up on a pedestal and say, you know, this is a perfect Christian here. This is who you're supposed to emulate. But the one thing they have done, they've submitted themselves to God to let him use their gifts in serving him. You know, they say, all right, I give up. You just use me how you want to use me. The story I ran across says, we have a sterling silver tea set at home that a family member gave us as a reminder of her love for us. It's quite old and beautiful, and it sits on a stand in our dining room. There's only one problem. We can't use it. Before she gave it to us, she had it chemically coated so that it wouldn't tarnish. Hot water will ruin the finish. God's not looking for sterling silver tea sets. He's looking for rough and tumble clay pots, the kind that can be used every day. He's looking for the kind of pots that don't need to be tucked away in a china closet, but can be sent out into a crash-bang world, carrying within them the life of Christ. The church is never meant to be a china cabinet where precious pieces would be stowed away out of harm's way. The church was meant to be a working kitchen where well-worn parts are filled again and again to dispense their life-giving contents to a thirsty world. So are we fancy pots? Or are we those old pots at the bottom of our cabinet that we use every day? Everybody's got a pot like that at home. You use it every day. Or is it the one that's sitting in the china cabinet that just sits there and never gets used? Now, how are you letting God use your life? Y'all all heard me say this quote before, but Ruth Smelser said, "We have not lived a perfect day until we do something for someone who can never repay us." You haven't lived a perfect day until you've done something for someone that they'll never be able to repay you, putting others ahead of yourself. And why do we do this? We're to use our time, our talents, our treasures, use them diligently in order to serve God completely in whatever we do. We only do it for one reason, and we heard it in Laura's song. So one day we hope to hear these words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That will be our reward.